our Lord and Savior. Amen. Back in 1987, during my first year at the seminary in St. Louis, I met an unlikely seminarian. I say unlikely seminarian because when I got to know this guy, I found out that he had not always been a Christian. In fact, to my surprise, this man confided in me that he had at one time in his life worshipped Satan. Now I'm sure that if I had known this man when he was a Satanist, I would have thought it quite unlikely that he would ever become a Christian, much less enroll in Concordia Seminary and become a pastor in one of our congregations. But God can work miracles in our lives, can't he? Another example of this is a man named Kevin Parvies. Kevin Parvies was raised as an Orthodox Jew. And into his 30s, he practiced his Orthodox Jewish faith with great sincerity. And that meant that he denied that Jesus is the Christ that was promised in the Old Testament. Now, I'm sure that if I had met Kevin at that point in his life, I would have thought it quite unlikely that he would one day become a Christian and then eventually an LCMS pastor in mission to Jewish people in the St. Louis area. But that's exactly what Kevin Parvies is doing today. Kevin Parvies is a Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor, and he does mission work among the unbelieving Jewish people in the St. Louis area. God worked a miracle in Kevin's heart. Today I continue my sermon series entitled Facts in Acts. Today's sermon is based on Acts chapter 9, where we will learn about the unlikely apostle. Now this unlikely apostle is known to us as the Apostle Paul, a great missionary for Christ and the Holy Spirit-inspired author of several books of the New Testament. Now, why do I say that he was an unlikely apostle? Well, if you were here two Sundays ago, you will remember that I preached on Acts chapter 7, where we heard about a sermon preached by a pastor known as Stephen. If you recall, Stephen proclaimed the truth about Jesus to the unbelieving Jewish leaders. In return, the Jewish leaders stoned Stephen to death. Of course, those who stoned Stephen didn't want to get their clothes stained with blood, and so they gave their clothes for safekeeping to a man named Saul, which was his Jewish name. Saul also had a Greek name. His Greek name was Paul. So who was this Saul? Well, Saul was a famous Pharisee. Saul was known by many as a prime example of what it meant to be a holy and righteous man who was obedient to God's laws and worthy of God's honor. In addition, Saul was also known for his hatred of Jesus and his followers. But why did Saul hate Jesus and his followers? Well, simply put, Jesus had claimed to be the Christ who was promised in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, if you want to understand why they hated Jesus for saying that, you need to know what that word Christ means. The word Christ is simply the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. Both Christ from the Greek and Messiah from the Hebrew mean the same thing. They both mean the Anointed One. Now, what does the Anointed One mean? Well, if you study Old Testament history, you will find that the prophets and the priests and the kings were anointed with oil in a public ceremony as a sign that they had been chosen by God for that particular public office. Now, over the years, this anointing ceremony led led people to refer to the promised Savior as the Anointed One. They called him the Messiah, or later in Greek, the Christ. And as you know, Jesus said that he was Christ. The problem, however, was that Jesus was not the Christ that the Jewish people expected. Why not? I'll give you three reasons. First, Jesus not only claimed to be the Christ, he also claimed to be the very Son of God, God in human flesh. And the Jewish leaders did not want to accept the fact that the Christ was also God, even though the Old Testament teaches this. Now, why did they not want to accept that Christ was also God? Well, I'm sure they had various reasons, but I think the primary one is that a mere man can be bribed and manipulated. But how do you do that with God? That leads to the second reason the Jews didn't accept that Jesus was the Christ. You see, they expected the Christ to be a military leader who would save them from the Romans and then give Jews their own independent country. But Jesus was anything but a military leader. Instead, Jesus stressed that he had come to give them a salvation of a completely different kind. And that leads to the third reason they didn't accept that Jesus was the Christ. You see, Jesus stressed that all people are sinners. All people are guilty of breaking God's laws, even the righteous Jews who thought they had kept them. Jesus therefore stressed that he had come to save his people from their sins by his own sacrifice in their place. In fact, that's why John the Baptist said that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, all those lambs that we read about the Jews sacrificing throughout Old Testament history, those lambs were pictures of Jesus and the sacrifice that he would one day offer so that our sins could be forgiven. However, many Jews believed, sadly, that God would forgive them of their sins because of their obedience of God's laws. They thought like this. They thought, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then God would forgive you. In fact, a lot of people today think that way. And the Pharisees of Jesus' day were the ultimate examples of people who had supposedly earned God's mercy and favor by their obedience. That's exactly why the Pharisees were very offended by Jesus. Because Jesus told them to repent and be baptized right along with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. Well, let me tell you, someone like Saul despised Jesus and all that he taught. Saul was a sincere Pharisee who had dedicated his life to the obedience of God's laws. Saul believed that he was loved by God because of his performance. Therefore, Saul saw no need for Jesus, who claimed to be the Christ, the Son of God, who came to save his people from their sins. Saul saw no need for such a Savior. In fact, he was offended by him. Therefore, Saul dedicated his time, his energy, and his money to hunting down fellow Jews who had come to faith in this false teacher called Jesus. What did Saul do? Well, Saul would find Christian Jews, he would report them to the Jewish authorities, and then he would have them hauled off to prison. And therefore, Saul was more than happy to hold the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen to death. Now let me tell you, if you had been a Jewish Christian at that time, you would have thought that it would be very, very unlikely that Saul would end up trusting in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, much less serving as one of his apostles. But God can work miracles, can't he? In today's reading from Acts chapter 9, we heard how Saul the Pharisee became Paul the Apostle. Saul was confronted by the risen and ascended Jesus himself. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Now Saul was so shocked that he wasn't even sure what was going on. So Saul asks this person to identify himself, and Jesus then says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And at those words, Saul's heart must have sunk into the pit of his stomach. Think about it. Saul now knows that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. Not only is he the Christ, but he's also the very Son of God. Not only is it now true that Jesus really did die for our sins, but now Saul obviously knows that Jesus' resurrection is a fact. Jesus is not dead after all. He really is alive, just as his apostles said. But that leads to a question. How was Saul actually persecuting Jesus himself? Well, you see, every time Saul mocked the witness of a Christian, every time Saul persecuted a Christian, he was thereby indirectly persecuting Jesus. Well, after this event, we're told that Saul was blind for 3 days. This may have been God's way of showing Paul that he had been spiritually blind all his life. Well, Saul's servants then led him to Damascus, where Jesus had told them to go. And then remember, the Lord told a disciple named Ananias to go to Saul and restore his sight. But at first, Ananias hesitates, and I don't blame him. I would have too. You see, Ananias reminded Jesus that, hey, Saul is the guy who's been persecuting us Christians. But the Lord stressed that he had chosen Saul to be his apostle. So, Ananias met with Saul. First, Ananias gave him back his physical sight, and then Ananias gave him spiritual sight when he spoke the gospel to Paul and baptized him. In fact, if you read on in the book of Acts, later on in Acts chapter 22, Paul retells this experience with Ananias and gives us a few more words that Ananias spoke to him that are not recorded in Acts chapter 9. So listen to what Paul says about what Ananias said to him. In Acts chapter 22, Paul says, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for, Paul? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." And that's how Saul the Pharisee became Paul the Apostle. However, there's one other thing that needs to be addressed. In our reading for today, the Lord says the following about Paul. He says, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Now, why did God say that? Did God hate Saul? Was God suggesting that Saul had to earn his salvation by suffering? No, not at all. In fact, what we learn is that God's gift of suffering was actually a sign of God's love for Paul. How so? Well, first, you might recall in previous sermons that the other apostles also suffered for the sake of Jesus. and they considered it an honor. Well, God will also bestow the same blessing on Paul, who will also have the honor of suffering for the sake of Christ and his gospel. Second, God will also use suffering in Paul's life to strengthen his faith and to help him mature. For instance, in Romans chapter 5, Paul himself writes these words about suffering. He says, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. On one other occasion, when God was allowing Paul to suffer greatly, Paul wrote these words about that experience. Listen to what Paul wrote. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, this is such a comfort for us Christians today. You see, when God allows us to suffer, this does not mean that he has forsaken us or that he hates us. Far from it. When God does allow us to suffer, it means that he will use our suffering to strengthen our faith in Jesus and also give us a chance to witness to others about the hope that we have in Christ. With that understood, let's examine the last part of today's reading. We're told that Saul went on to be a powerful witness for Jesus. Now, of course, many Christians didn't trust Saul at first, but as he continued to prove from Scripture that Jesus is the promised Christ and the very Son of God, well, Saul began to win the trust of his fellow Christians. In fact, eventually, Saul met with the other apostles of Jesus. Now, they had heard how the risen Jesus had chosen Saul to be an apostle. But to make sure, they compared Saul's teaching with their own teaching, and after thoroughly discerning both Saul's teaching and their teaching, they concluded that they shared the same teaching, the same teaching that Jesus himself had given them. Now, with all that said, how do these facts about Saul's conversion apply to us today? Well, first, Saul was the unlikely apostle. In other words, most Christians would have assumed that Saul was lost and could never be converted. But never say never when it comes to God. God can save people even though we think they might be beyond conversion. I mean, think about it. God saved us, didn't he? And we're all sinners by nature. We were also conceived as enemies of God. The fact is, we are all unlikely Christians because we are just as sinful as Saul ever was. But by God's grace, you have been chosen. You have heard the words of Christ. You have been baptized in his name. God saved you. Therefore, we should never give up on people, even if it appears unlikely that some people will ever trust in Jesus. In fact, you may know some people who don't take their sin seriously, and they don't see any need for Jesus. Some of these people might be friends or family members that you know. And your heart breaks because they seem to be beyond the point of no return. Their hearts are hard, and they care nothing for Jesus and his word. but don't give up on them, because God won't give up on them. I mean, if Saul the Pharisee can become Paul the Apostle, then there is hope for those who seem to be unlikely Christians. If God saved us, He can save them. Now, of course, I realize that some people reject God until the day they die. But we don't know if that will be the case for any particular individual. Therefore, we continue to speak the truth in love to unbelievers in the hope that one day they will repent and believe. We must remember that no one loves them more than God, who gave His own Son to save them. In closing, I want you to listen carefully to these words of the Apostle Paul from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to these words and think about how they apply to you and also your witness to others who do not yet know the Lord. Paul writes, "Here is a trustworthy saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.